In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, who by the mystery of today's great feast sanctify your whole church in every people and nation, pour out, we pray, the gifts of the Holy Spirit across the face of the earth, and with divine grace that was at work when the gospel was first proclaimed, fill now once more the hearts of believers through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. There are a lot of theological features in the readings this weekend that have to do with the central mystery of the church, the Trinity, the nature of the persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the roles that they each have. And we could spend a lot of time on that, but we're not going to this morning. So you can read about all those features and more of the details in the text of the homily that I'm not giving. That'll be online. Today I want to focus really on the Holy Spirit and our individual relationships with the Holy Spirit, because really, I think for Catholics, the Holy Spirit really kind of gets a raw deal in our lives. We focus so much on the Father and the Son, and of course we ought to focus on the Father and the Son, but the Father and the Son have particular roles in our lives, as does the Holy Spirit. And very often, in overlooking the role of the Holy Spirit, we focus on Christ where we should be focusing on the Holy Spirit. So, for instance, you might say, you know, that saying, who's in the driver's seat, you know, Jesus or you, or are you thinking of Jesus throughout the day? Really focusing on Christ in that way. When you stop and think about it, who is it that Jesus sent upon his ascension? And for what reason did Jesus send the Holy Spirit? Right? What did Jesus say himself? And what is said in the scriptures about the work of the Holy Spirit? He sent the Holy Spirit to animate, on this we celebrate the so-called birthday of the church, the emergence of the church, right? The church, the mystical body of Christ, animated by the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit animating the body of Christ, we are no church. We're just a gathering of people who perform particular rituals to no particular end, except in our minds. The Holy Spirit is necessary for this. The Holy Spirit will do what? Will remind you of the truths of the word that I spoke, said Jesus, of the word that is not my own, but is the Father's. The Father gave it to me. I am the Word. I speak the Word of the Father to you. I reveal myself to you. And the Holy Spirit will, throughout time, until the end, remind you of these words. It is the Holy Spirit that enlightens our minds to what is contained in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is the one who inspired the writing, and the Holy Spirit is the one who will open our minds and our hearts to what is contained in what the Holy Spirit inspired the authors of Holy Scripture to write. It is the Holy Spirit who guides, who leads into truth. It is the Holy Spirit who animates us in our Christian life. the Holy Spirit we receive in baptism and confirmation fully. The Holy Spirit who gives the gifts from which come the fruits and by which animate and liven the virtues, theological and cardinal. The Holy Spirit is a really big deal and cannot be reduced to a sideshow of, you know, we have today the reading of the descent of the Holy Spirit and everybody was speaking in tongues. Tongues representing the languages of the world in which others from those places heard their own language. So everybody understood what was being said. Whereas nowadays, in many places, the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues in people, that gift of tongues, has been reduced to something that cannot be understood, is often radical, and requires the gift of interpretation. And St. Paul himself, in his letters, spoke to that kind of chaos and how the gifts of the Spirit ought not to create chaos. Ought not to create confusion, but rather ought to be instruments of God in the people of God, in the church of God, for peace, for order, for salvation. And so although we speak of the gifts that Paul articulates of the Holy Spirit and the way in which those gifts are given to the whole church, for the church, and for the salvation of the world, the Holy Spirit cannot be reduced to just those particular things. In particular, the Holy Spirit must have that active role in our lives, not just enabling us to say, Lord God, have mercy on me, to say Lord and know what that means, but to help us in our discernment. We can say, Jesus, God, what is your will? But it is the Holy Spirit that will reveal that will to us. And we ought to petition that Holy Spirit, which is both within us, within the church, and all around, just as God is, as the third person of the Trinity. We should pursue the Holy Spirit in this way. All the time, every day, and in very practical ways, in order to be guided according to the will of God, in order to fully understand as God reveals himself through Christ, and in order to fully understand ourselves as we are fully revealed in Christ. We see the Son of God and the mysteries of the Trinity, but it is the Holy Spirit who helps us to understand that which we see, who helps us to understand how marriage, the family, is an icon of the Trinity. And the Holy Spirit will cooperate in the most practical of ways. It's just a matter of tuning in to the Spirit's voice, to the Spirit's movement. Sometimes the Holy Spirit is just nudging us, very carefully, nudging us. And you can come to recognize that nudge in the same way as, let's say, family members. You can come to recognize easily without looking who it is that's gently nudging your shoulder. Just like without seeing who's walking up the stairs to you, you know who it is, right? You recognize the footsteps. You can come to recognize the movement of the Holy Spirit in the very same way, and the same in the voice. The same way that the Holy Spirit will guide strongly. Don't do that. Stop. Stop. Go. You see that person over there? Go to them. Sometimes when I'm preaching, believe it or not, even though I preach long, sometimes when I'm preaching, the Holy Spirit will gently nudge me or push me hard, depending on how, you know, deeply involved I am, and say, stop. That's enough. And if you've ever paid attention to my homilies, you'll know sometimes I stop abruptly, it seems. Like I was going to say more, but I'm done. That's the Holy Spirit telling me, enough. Stop there. I don't know why the Spirit wants me to stop there. Maybe it's because you all stopped listening. Who knows? The Spirit knows. Mine is to recognize the movement of the Spirit and to be obedient to that. I've told this story once or twice, not sure if I've done it recently, about how myself and another seminarian, we were driving from Detroit to New York. He was going to visit the Salesians, potentially exploring a vocation with the Salesians in New York. And so I thought, what a great opportunity. I love road trips. I love adventure in road trips. I don't like maps. And so I thought, let's take no freeways, no interstates, nothing like that. And let's just pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit to lead us from Detroit to New York in the time we have to get there. Part of which of that was getting to know the Spirit. I thought, well, this will be a great exercise. And praise God, we were able to discern. The Spirit was helpful, just like it was with Paul on those missionary journeys. And although we weren't perfect in our understanding of the Spirit, we got there early and we had no trouble. Well, there was one night, it was getting late, and we really, it's like, well, we need to stay somewhere, and we ended up sneaking into a state park. That was, it was the Holy Spirit guiding us, because there's no way we could have found that place. And then there was nobody there to collect the money in the morning, so we thanked God and went on our way. It can be that practical in our own lives, just as it was that practical for Paul in his missionary journeys, in understanding how he was to fill his role in his part of the mission of Christ. The Holy Spirit can and will animate us. If we allow it, and if we stop being afraid of what other people in other churches are telling us about the Holy Spirit, where the Spirit is in this box, you know? I remember when I was coming to this parish, there were some who had heard different things, some of which weren't true. You know, here comes the guitar priest, here comes the charismatic priest. He's going to change everything we do at the Basilica. And we're all going to be going, yay, Jesus! While I would like a little more animation in the congregation, obviously this is not the direction we went in. Because that's not the only thing that the Holy Spirit animates. There are different ways of being animated in the Spirit in the life of the faith, right? And the Spirit will work with who we are. Grace builds on nature. And so if we are an extrovert, and if we are easily talking to other people, and other, the Spirit will animate and amplify that. And you may be in worship one of those people who just really wants to move and really wants to say amen and really wants to sing out to the Lord in song. I think our church is filled with introverts, but, you know. And if you're a more quiet, reserved person, the Spirit will animate you in a way that is appropriate there. But the Spirit will also bring to calm and quiet the extrovert. And the Spirit will animate and explode the introvert when the Spirit wants, if we cooperate, if we're familiar with how the Holy Spirit is working in us, wants to work in us. So yes, I think it's probable that most of us have the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, the way in which the Spirit wants to work received at baptism and confirmation still in the gift box, as yet fully opened. Because if it were part of the role of the Holy Spirit, there would be so much more peace in ourselves, in our church, and because of that, in the world. There would be so much greater manifestation of our love for each other and our love for God. And the world would see how we love each other, and God would be glorified. Imagine a Facebook, a Twitter, an internet without warring Catholics disgracing God in view of the world. Imagine a church fully enlivened by the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome our fears and our weird sensibilities, our self-consciousness, so that when we proclaim the creed, we proclaim the creed. This is what I believe, this is who I am, and I don't care who sees it and who hears it. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And we won't be afraid if someone else hears our terrible voice when we're singing glory to God in the highest. And we won't be afraid to serve. We won't be afraid to touch the hearts and lives and minds of the people outside on our doorstep. We won't be afraid to make the sign of the cross in public. We won't be afraid to pray grace at dinner in a restaurant. We won't be afraid to talk about Christ, to share Christ. We won't be afraid to defend life. We won't be afraid. Amen. Let the Holy Spirit animate you in the way in which is proper to you. Find out what that is. Have no fear. Let the Holy Spirit truly do what the Holy Spirit wants to do, so that this church will continue to be an ever greater light into the world of Jacksonville. Let the heart of Christ beat so strongly in us by the power of the Holy Spirit that people come from all over to find out what's going on there. And all those Catholics who are going to Celebration Church, 1122, all the other mega churches, they'll come home. Your brothers and sisters, your cousins, they'll come home. And they'll get the full meal deal here. Not just a part of it. They'll get the fullness of Christ in the Eucharist when they come home. This fullness of Christ that you and I have access to every day insofar as we are worthy. Every day. Not as something private to be kept hidden, but to be shared. The grace of which flowing into us and out, made possible by the working of the Holy Spirit, if we let it. Come, Holy Spirit, renew the face of the earth, beginning with me. Amen.